Welcome to this virtual session where we're going to cover all things ALM on the Power Platform. I'm a PM on the ISV and ProDev Experience team, and I'm here with Shan MacArthur from the CDS Platform team and Casey Berg from the Power Apps team. Or rather, I wish that I was here with them. We're excited to share some of the things that we've been working on across multiple teams over the last year or so to make sure that low code does not mean that you cannot have healthy automated application lifecycle management and even rub a little DevOps on your low code development without being a pro developer. Now, some of the concepts we'll cover have actually been around for a while, but we made it more accessible to folks unfamiliar with Azure DevOps, PowerShell, and some of our legacy tooling. We're also going to cover a few gotchas, how to work around them, and what we're going to do to address them for you. Now, before we dive deep into how you can move from environment-centric development to a source-centric approach, how to set up Azure DevOps pipelines, there are a few fundamentals that everyone should be aware of when you want to move towards what we've coined healthy ALM on the Power Platform. I'm going to hand it over to Shan, who's probably the most knowledgeable man on this planet on this topic, to take us through some of the fundamentals. So over to you, Shan.
Hello, I'm Shan MacArthur. Today I'm going to walk you through some of the solution fundamentals. In the Common Data Service, we use solutions to ship configurations from one environment to another. That may be from dev to test to prod. It could be into your source control system as well. As far as the solution system, it is basically a pointer or collection of the configurations or various components that you have configured in your system. So you can associate data model components such as entities. You can all your user interface components, including the model apps and canvas apps, process and code, as well as many other components. Pretty much everything in the Power Platform is a solution component and can be added to a solution. Solutions are created and they're authored by a publisher. And that's rather important to us for this system because the publisher defines the ownership of the component when it is brought into the system. The publisher can control the ability for you to extend it or lock it down, and the ability to transfer the ownership of one component from one solution to another is always driven by the publisher system. One of the first things you're going to want to understand about solutions is what we mean by managed and unmanaged solution types. Unmanaged solutions are to be used in the development environment while you are making configuration changes to your application. Solutions are exported as unmanaged and checked into your source control system. Unmanaged solutions should be considered your source. Managed solutions are used to deploy to any environment outside of development. This includes test, UAT, SIT, and production environments. Managed solutions should be generated by a build server and considered as a build artifact. The solution system in CDS supports layering and is very important for you to understand what the runtime behavior would be for any particular component. Here's a diagram of various solutions that could be in play in your system here. At the base there is system solutions that Microsoft would ship, and the out-of-the-box experience, which would include things like your standard entities like the contact entity or the account entity. You will see various ISV solutions or even your own custom managed solutions or customer managed solutions that are installed. And then finally, any configurations that you make on top of those. And the bottom line is you have to have an understanding on a per component basis what solutions are in play for influencing that behavior and what the end user would see. Now, for some of the components that support a top row wins, if there are multiple entities or multiple solutions that are extending an entity or any component for that matter, you'll basically, the top one will be the one that wins. In the case here, if you have unmanaged configurations on top of that, it would be in the active layer and that one would always win. For other components that support merging, let's say legacy sitemap and the model-driven forms, it would be a merge of all of the layers that are participating. And the end result would be a combination of all of them, including of your active layers on top. Now, when you bring in managed solutions, the top one would be winning. If you ever make a configuration, your unmanaged changes will always be on top of those managed layers. When we consider ALM health, we want to sort of think about this in two stages: your overall ALM health in your application, as well as the how you're using solutions. So let's talk a little bit first about the actual ALM health and some health checks you can do on your own to self-assess where you sit on this. So one of the first things you want to consider is, what is your definitive source of truth? Are you using an environment? Like, do you go to a specific development environment? Do you consider that the source of truth? Or are you going to source control? And you really want to be able to answer the question that you are going to source control, and you could actually rely on your source control system being your definitive source of truth. Are you shipping your solutions to test and production environments as managed or unmanaged? Obviously, you want to be able to ship as managed. It's the only solution type that you can actually service and support afterwards. Unmanaged solutions are always at the top, and they're not layered, and you can service them as well. Are your development environments disposable? You know, as you're going forward, if you have a single development environment and you're relying on it, and it's not your source control is not your definitive source of truth, you become reliant on that development environment and the data that's in it. And that's not very healthy from an ALM standpoint. So you should really be considering having your development environments disposed of frequently and reconstituting them from source control to ensure that you can make them disposable and are relying on source control being your source of truth. Are all of your automation, are all of your ALM processes fully automated? Everything in ALM can be automated with CDS, and you should be focusing on automation. It's really easy to make a mistake for deploying an application if you're doing it by hand. If you can use automation for this, you'll be reliable and repeatable, and you'll do it frequently. If you have multiple developers working on your applications, do they have a sufficient amount of isolation from each other? Can one developer work in one environment and not impact or affect another developer? You can have multiple developers in different environments exporting their configurations, putting them into source control, and make that your definitive source of truth. Can you service and production while you're working on vNext? So as you deploy the version 1 of your application, your end users are going to be using that while you're working on version 2 of your application. You could be partway done version 2, but it's not quite ready to ship, and then you have an urgent application need or a bug on production. You need to be able to service production without dragging in some accidental partial development that's been completed in dev or may not be quite ready for prime time. But you also want to be able to service that without throwing out that work as well. And are you using Solution Packager? I quite often ask people about the source control, and they say yes, they put their solutions in source control. When I look at it, it's basically they've put their zip file in there, and it's not really a proper way of doing that in source control. So you should be using Solution Packager, which takes out that monolithic zip file and those big XML files that are inside it, breaks it apart into individual files and folders that are organized in a way that are meaningful for developers in your source control system and will support merging and branching in your source control, so you can have a healthy ALM. And while we're on the topic of ALM health, let's talk about how you use solutions. When you use solutions and include an entity, are you using the solution segmentation feature? That is when you are extending an existing entity, like a contact or account. If you are only going to be changing, say, one or two forms, you should only have those one or two forms in your solution. If you add a couple of attributes, you should only add those couple of attributes to your solution. You shouldn't do the add all assets and put more than necessary into your solution file. And this allows you to ensure that the changes that are tracked in your source control system are only the changes that you've made. When you are building your forms and stuff like that, are you using supported techniques only? We are, as Microsoft, are documenting what is supported and what is not. You should stick with those supported techniques only to ensure that you have long-term compatibility. We're shipping weekly updates to the service, and we don't want to break you. So if you only using solutions that are supported, you're not going to have a problem. If you are straying to the side and doing unsupported stuff, you are likely to be broken at any moment's notice because we're not testing those additional things. Testing in UC and app modules. So if you are deploying in a legacy web environment, even if you're choosing to do that today, it's going to be very shortly where you'll need to support the Universal Client and using app modules to see the application. So you should be testing your applications that are compatible with that model anyways. Are you using a single publisher? So what happens is, if you are refactoring your solutions over time, you may decide to move an ownership from one component from one solution to another. Maybe you start with one great big solution that's got all your apps in it, but you want to have different life cycles for different apps. You want to move them and split them up. And it's really essential that all the solutions you have the same publisher for the ones that you're authoring, so you can actually freely move those components from one solution to another. you should be frequently running Solution Checker. This will, as an online service that we have, that we are updating the rules on a regular basis, and we'll always be giving you some advance notice of what's good for use and what's not from a performance and a compatibility standpoint. So Solution Checker is your friend and will give you a really good health check on your solutions. While you're developing, you want to have separate environments for each solution layer. So I've seen many customers that are trying to ship 5 or 6 different solutions with entities and other data in it, all from the same environment. And invariably, they start to have issues with servicing and cross-dependencies across those solutions, and they get into upgrade problems when they eventually want to start to remove stuff. So if you have a separate layers, you want to ship with separate layers, you should have a separate environment for each layer, and then only have your managed dependencies installed in that environment and nothing else there, to sort of keep your dependencies clean and to avoid any cyclical dependencies between solutions. And finally, you definitely want to make sure that you're only putting in those managed solutions. Don't put in other development solutions or other solutions that are not a direct dependency in your development environment. Otherwise, you could accidentally bring in a dependency that you don't want to have, and that'll complicate your deployment to production.
Thank you, Shan. Before I dive into the demo, let's look at some of the gaps that we're about to address here. So today, if you have a Canvas app that is, for example, connecting to 2 different SQL databases or different CDS databases, when you try to migrate that to another environment, it's incredibly difficult or almost impossible to maintain that separation of those connections. You want to maintain the separation between 2 SQL databases, not try to point at the same one. So that's almost impossible to do without manually editing the app. The second part is flows lose their connections. So you have to go through every single action and every single flow that you import and rewire that to the new connections in the new environment. It also creates an unmanaged layer, which is incredibly unhealthy for ALM. That means that every time you ship a managed solution, there's always going to be an unmanaged layer sitting on top. So even though the solution gets installed, that active layer wins, meaning no one sees your updates. So we're going to address getting back to a healthy managed state and what you can do going forward. The other part is there's no way to change the input parameters as you move across environments. Maybe you want to change an email address for notifications, or maybe you want to change the SharePoint site and list that you're connecting to, or a number of other parameters. Today, there's no way to do that. First, let's take a look at the existing experience. So I have a basic solution here that has a Canvas app and a flow. What's net new is you can see all the different layers that were brought in by different solutions for this specific component. You can see that for any component. And so you can see this one, because I had to manually edit all those connections, it creates an unmanaged layer. So now when I ship managed solution updates, that unmanaged layer sits on top. You don't ever get to see those updates, unfortunately. So here's how you get back to healthy. Now you can remove this unmanaged layer, and then you can continue shipping managed solution updates. Now I'm going to show you a new solution that I'm working on. This solution contains a lot of different components. It's a model-driven app, Canvas app, a flow, has connection references and environment variables, which are newer components as well. So basically what this is doing is it's an application package that's used for airport security. So first of all, the airline passengers can check in, fill out their customs forms. And then similarly, we have some notifications wired up for alerting systems if there's any red flags raised. And that all goes into a SQL database. And then similarly, we have a model-driven app that's used as kind of the back office application for the customs officers. Now, given this is an ALM demo, I won't go too deep into the weeds about how this is built. So what we're going to do is export the solution. We're going to export it as managed. And now we're going to come over here to my UAT or production environment. So we have a brand new modern solution import experience. First, I'm going to select the solution file that was downloaded. This is going to be staged. And now I can see all the different connections that the Canvas app and the flow are binding to. And so instead of having to go through every single step and rewiring things, I do it once. Simply set my connections. And granted, these could change. So if I wanted to use a different SQL database, I could set those connections up and rebind at once. Next piece here is environment variables. So for the flow, I was testing with my own alias. And now that I'm moving to another environment, I actually want this to go out to all the customs agents to alert them of any suspicious activity that came in on the cards that customers had filled out. Now, I could have chosen to remove this value before I ship the solution, and I would still get prompted here. But you can also keep the value and ship that with your solution. So I'm going to enter the new value, then go ahead and import my solution. Another improvement is solution import now runs asynchronously. So go ahead and kick it off, and you can go ahead and bounce around in your environment, perform other tasks. Just note that you can't perform concurrent solution operations, meaning you can't import two solutions at the same time and things like that. Now, the last thing I'll show you here is we can really easily share out this model-driven app that I just brought in my solution. So I want to share this out with all those customs officers now, post-deployment. So we simply associate a security rule with the app. Now you can find the Azure Active Directory security group that the customs officers are a member of. Go ahead and assign a role to that as well. And share it out, and you're done. So now Pear is going to show you how you can automate your deployments through Azure DevOps. Over to you, Pear.
So what is this thing called DevOps, and why should I care? Well, in the words of Donovan Brown, a true DevOps evangelist here in Microsoft, DevOps is the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to end users. And you see in the diagram here, it enables a continuous delivery model where instead of me going away for 12 months, build out an app that may or may not be aligned with what the users actually wanted, as well as introducing significant change when I do deploy, DevOps enables you to deliver incremental value to your users, have them validate that what they asked for was actually what they wanted, and for you to quickly change plans as requirement change. Take what we do here in Microsoft. Back in the days, I used to be an ISV. We would sign NDA agreements that gave us a view into what would come to the product over the next 2 to 3 years. Now we're being asked the same here, and while we have some overall directional ideas of where the platform might be going, no one can give you a feature list of what's coming over the next 2 years. We plan 6 months intervals aligned with our release cycle, but continuously adjusting our plans as well as releasing features continuously to the platform. That's why we're so vague when we asked about roadmap. Anyway, I digress. What enables us to do all this is DevOps, and in our case, the tech we use to do this is Azure DevOps and a bunch of very, very, very great developers. Now, how do you then go and rob a little DevOps on your low code or even pro code development? You use Azure DevOps as well. You don't have to. You can use our tools, APIs, and PowerShell commandlets, and use this to light up and use in other DevOps tools. But as I said in the introduction, we've made it super simple for you to do so. And the enabler for this is Power Build Tools, which is an extension to Azure DevOps that lets you automate the manual steps such as importing and exporting solutions, unpacking solutions to source controls, or spin up and spin down your development environment. We'll show you how some of this is done, starting from the app that Casey showed previously. We're going to install the build tools. We're going to create a pipeline that moves the app into source control. And then we'll fast forward to the final result where we have a pipeline that moves our app from an environment into source control, a pipeline that creates a build artifact, the managed solution, and finally also a release pipeline that deploys our app to a production environment. So let's see how it's done. So I'm going into dev.azure.com here to get into my Azure DevOps environment. I'm signing in, and that's going to bring us in here. I could also start for free, but I've already set things up here, so I'm going to sign into my existing environment here. Into my password, and we're going to get to our default project that I set up here in advance. Now, the first thing that I need to do is I need to install the extension. So I'm going to go up to extensions, and I'm going to look for the Power Apps build tools on the marketplace here. It's going to be Power Platform build tools soon, but you're going to find it if you just search for Power on it. So I'm going to get it for free. It's going to take just a few seconds, and it's going to bring me in where I can install it into my organization. It's going to take just another few seconds, and I'm all set. I'm going to proceed into my organization. So the next thing that I need to do is before I can start interacting with my environment, I need to go in and set up connections to that environment. And I simply do that by going into my service connections. And you see, I have a couple of connections set up here that I'm going to use later. But here I'm going to set up a new service connection because I want to set up a connection to my development environment where I want to export my application from. So I'm going to add my server URL, I'm going to add my username and password, and in a couple of weeks after MBAS here, we're actually going to add support for service principles as well, so we can support MFA, because we had a lot of people and feedback saying, why can't we do it if we have MFA installed? But I'm using a preview version here, so I don't have that yet. I'm going to give my connection a name, and I'm going to save that connection. So now I have a connection into my Power Platform development environment that I can use in my pipelines here. I got a couple of other connections. So I'm going to go into my project, and I want to start building out the first pipeline. And remember, the first pipeline that I want to build is the ones where I take my what we call application metadata and export that out and get it into my source control. I'm going to use Azure Repos Git here. I'm going to just use an empty job. I could go with YAML, but since we're demoing how you set this up in a low-code manner, I don't want to use YAML. I want to use a UI where I can just drag and drop these different Azure DevOps tasks that comes as part of the Power Platform build tool. So I'm going to give it a name here. This is my pipeline. It's exporting from dev. I'm going to use 2019 here. And then I'm going to start adding the different tasks to my pipeline. I'm just going to search for Power here, and that's going to bring up all the different Power Apps built tools, the Power App tasks that I got here. And the first one I want to add is the Power Apps tool installer. So every time I build a pipeline using the Power Apps build tool extension, I always want to start with the Power Apps tools installer. We're actually going to have a version coming out a little later that has that embedded. But for now, the current versions always add the Power Apps tool installer. So I'm going to add the export solution, which pulls out the solution from my environment. I'm going to unpack the solution, which is what shards out this large solution XML file into multiple files that can be better understood by my source control system. And then finally, I'm going to add a command line that enables me to commit this to my repo. So I'm going to add the command line, and then I'm going to start filling out just some of the variables that I got to set in here. One of them obviously is the environment URL that I just created. I have to connect to my environment in order to export anything. I am also going to use a variable here for my solution name that I'm going to add in. I could have hard coded it, but it's easier for me to just reference the solution name throughout. And then I have my solution output file, and again, I'll reference the solution name variable here in that. I'm not going to export it as managed because this is my dev environment and my dev source code that I want to get to here. I'm going to unpack the solution, and again, I'm going to tell the pipeline what the input file is here, and I'm also going to tell it what the target folder should be to unpack that solution. All right, so I'm going to add the target folder here to unpack the solution, and once I've added this one here, I'm going to just add just a quick command line script here that's going to help make sure that I can actually commit it to a repo. We get a lot of questions around that as well. So let's go to command line script. I'm going to just paste it in here. We got it there. I'm going to rename the display name so we know what that does as opposed to just being a command line script. So I'm going to commit solution to repo. And I'm going to go ahead and save my pipeline now. So now I got my pipeline saved. And the next thing I need to do is just now I need to actually go and fill out some of those variables that I was using in my pipeline here. So remember, I was using solution name, so I need to add that solution name as a variable as well. So I'm going to add solution name here. And then I'm going to add the customs app, which was the solution name that Casey showed earlier, how that represented itself in the in the what we call the modern maker experience. So I got it all set up now, so I can go ahead and queue it. I'm going to queue it up. I'm going to run it. and it's going to get queued up. I'm going to go into my agent job here, and it's going to start running through those different tasks here. Now, there, one of the benefits of doing these things on demand is that I can actually just fast forward and magically be done. But this normally takes a good 30 to 50 seconds maybe to run this, depending on how large the solution is that you want to export. Now, let's go see how our app is now representing the source control. So I'm going to go into the repo here, and you can see I got a canvas apps, I got a couple of files in there, and I got my customizations, XML, I got relationships in there. So it's a nice way for me to better understand what is actually happening. Now let's go back to our pipelines here. Remember, we had a couple of other pipelines. The next ones are pre-built. So we got the create build artifact. That is the one that generates our build artifact. So again, we got the Power Apps tool installer, which is the very first task. Then we pack the solution from our repo. Then we import the solution into our build environment this time. And then we export that as a managed solution. And finally, we publish that as our build artifact. So our build artifact is the managed solution. So let's just queue that up. And while that runs, we can go into the next one, which is our release pipeline now. So the next thing we want to do is that we now, after the build has been generated, the build artifact here, we want to go in and then finally release that into our production environment. So it's a very simple couple of tasks here. We got a tool installer, and we're simply importing our build artifact here into our production environment. And we could set up other things here as well to just validate. We could run what we call the Power Apps checker. There are other things that we could do. But in essence, this is how you end-to-end take your app that you've built in Power Apps and Power Automate and deploys that through to other environments, as well as making sure that you have everything secured in source control. So we talked about how you can go from this environment-centric approach to a more source control-friendly approach, and how you simply just need to install the build tools, create a build pipeline to export from dev, create another one to generate your build artifact, and finally create a release pipeline to deploy to production. So that's a fairly straightforward approach, but it does assume that you have everything in an environment to begin with. So there are scenarios where you might be building some components with pro development tooling, and this is where the Power Apps CLI and CDS prods concepts comes in really handy. So let's try and take a look at how that works. Effectively, it's just a different way of working with solutions, but it's a faster way of doing it. Instead of what we've seen until now, where we export something in a pipeline and we unpack the solution and we get it to a source control, this is a way where you can quickly say that you want to start building out a control, or you might say, well, someone has an app in an environment, maybe a citizen developer has been riffing over an app, and they've come to you now because they need some of your ProDev capabilities to augment maybe the UI, make a better user experience. So you want to maybe add a PCF control, or maybe you want to add some plugin logic, or you want to add just something different to it. And that's where this comes in really handy. So in the next demo here, I'm going to try and illustrate how that is used. I'm not going to build a control. I'm not going to build anything ProDev, because that's not what we're here for. There's a great session from Haley and Rohit in another conference, in the MBAS conference. I'll add a link to it here where you can see how you actually build it. But what you learn here is how to use the CDS prods type, how to use clone, and how to construct your pipelines to use the CDS prods type instead. So let's take a look. So we want to use the Power Apps CLI to pull the latest solution from a dev environment. And we might have been pulled in by a citizen developer who's been building something and now want to enhance it with some more pro dev capabilities, such as PCF control. So what we can do is that we can use the pack auth create to add a connection to an existing environment. Pack auth create URL, it's going to prompt to log in. and it's going to validate our connection. Now that the connection has been validated, now we can use the pack solution clone to pull in the solution. So this is the customs app that we want to pull in, pack solution clone name customs app. And it's going to save us from all the other things that we had to do in the past, where we had to set up something to export the solution manually and maybe unpack that solution to a repo before we could start working with it. We can simply just do this in one quick gesture here. So it's going to pull out the solution for us, it's going to unpack it, and we have the solution ready to work with. So if we look into this directory here now, into customs app, you can see we got this new project type here, customs app CDS proj, now available for us. So let's go ahead and add that. And made it. And we say pulled solution created CDS proj. Control S4, and we're gonna do a git push into that here. Now, so that's done. Now we can go and start creating a directory for the PCF controller. We can start using PCF init to start the initial creation of the PCF project here. So we're gonna create a directory, control directory. And now we can use pack solution to create this. So we're going to do pack PCF init, and we're going to say namespace is just NS, name is just N, type is a type field. So NS and type field. So that's created the for us, and we can look at this now here. We can see it's got the control directory PCF proj created here. So that's great. And we could do code here, and we could start working with it and build something. But we're not here to build PCF controls. There's a great session from Haley and Rohit doing that, and we'll add a reference to that session from MBAS in this deck here after the fact. Anyway, so let's go back here. So we want to create that reference. So let's go back. And remember, what we want to do is now we want to create a reference from our CDS proj into the PCF proj, so that whenever we build the PCF proj in our custom app, then it maintains and have the references to PCF controls and plugins and other things that we might want to create and reference here. So we're going to do pack solution add reference, and the path here is simply in the same control dir here. So it's going to add that reference, and we can see now that if we open our project, our CDS proj, we can see that it's added the reference down here now. So whenever we build it, it's going to include whatever we have referenced as PCF proj or plugin proj available here. So this is all done. So let's go ahead and add that. Add a PCF control. Control S, Control F4, and then finally we're going to do git push here as well. So we now have this laid down. Now we're going to show how we build a pipeline that uses this, but you could actually, if you build this directly here, use MS Build Restore, it's actually going to generate your solution zip file in the bin directory that you can use there. So real quick way to work with that. Now the next thing we want to do is now we want to create a pipeline that can understand and use this concept of CDS prod, so it can use build restore instead of the pack and unpack gestures that we're using before, and also build these PCF controls as well that we added here. So we're going to go back to our pipelines, and we're going to create a new pipeline, And we're going to use the classic editor again, just because we are still working with a lot of low code here. So in the spirit of that, let's go ahead and create. This is our new, let's just call it CDS proj pipe for demo purposes. And we are going to still add the Power Apps tools installer to that, because we still want to use all of the import gestures that are available. But now we want to add a npm piece here. So we're going to add npm command, and we're going to go into that. We're going to install, and the working folder that we had here will be the control directory that we got here. So we're going to work on that, and then we're going to add a .NET build tasks here. I'm going to add one, and I know that we're going to need another one because we want to do a .NET restore as well as a build. So we're going to do a restore here, and the path that we want to work with here is our solution name. I've typed it in here. Is our solution name. It's a CDS proj here. And similarly for the build, same thing. And then we want to finally, after we've built it, then we remember that the build generates the zip file. So I'm going to look for my Power Apps import here. Power Apps solution import. I'm going to add this one here. And I'm going to say the environment URL here is our, let's just say that it's our dev one here, and the solution input file is the thing I added in here. And again, we're using the solution name variable, so we have to remember to add that one. So let's save this one and add the variable here, add solution name. And solution name was our customs app here. So let's go ahead, save and queue that one. I want to use the 2019 agent. And that's now going to go ahead and work through here. Now, the benefit of these recordings as opposed to the live sessions is that you don't have to sit here and wait for this to run. I can magically fast forward. And so the last thing it's doing here, again, is that it imports the solution, which will now include whatever references that I had added to the PCF, put to the CDS project. In this case, it was really just an empty PCF control, but this is not to teach anyone to build PCF controls. This is illustrating the concept of using CDS proj as a faster way to work with solutions. We are really excited to see where you're going to take this and getting your feedback on how we can make this even better. Now, so let's just take a quick revamp here on additional sessions where you can learn more about some of the topics that we covered here. There's obviously Scott's keynote, where towards the end we're talking a little bit about the Power Platform and APIM management and how Azure and the Power Platform can work better together. It's a really exciting session, so please go there and take a look at that. And then, as I said, there are a couple of sessions from the Microsoft Business Application Summit that happened earlier this month as well. One is tooling and guidance for managing and governing the Power Platform at scale. It's a topic that has increased focus lately, as the Power Platform continues to grow and be deployed at real scale. Management and governance becomes a real topic, and we've made tremendous improvements on that. And then there's also a session, another one from the Microsoft Business App Summit, around pro developer skills and how you can actually use those on the Power Platform. The topic is really, it's not one or the other, it's not low code or pro code. It's the fact that it's the best of both worlds. And I think this session from Rohit and Haley really lights that up well. I know it's the third time I mention it, but I'm very excited about that session. And then finally, we got a couple of resources here for you as well. There is some new updated docs around ALM on the Power Platform. There was a lack of a central place where you could learn everything about ALM. It used to be fragmented. We've basically taken everything there was on docs around ALM and the tools around it, revamped it, rewritten it, reordered it. So it's up there. Take a look. There's a lab as well, an AKMS PPOM lab. We're going to continue to expand that. And then finally, the build tools as well. So we're excited about being here. Thank you so much. And please get back in touch with any feedback you have on ALM on the platform. Thank you.